How are you guys doing today?
Good.
If you guys in the back, I know you're working, but if you want to come a little closer, if we can make this more of a interactive group rather than me just talking. I don't really want to hog up the stage, so to speak. I'm not really a speaker per se. I'm more of a filmmaker, but I've just been presented this opportunity to come speak here. So thanks for tuning in. I like to say right now, like what's happening, which I think is a really exciting time. I call it the Wevolution, and it's like the revolution. But you can't spell revolution without love. It's spelled backwards in the word revolution.
Really?
A little wordplay for you. And in my mind, what is the Wevolution? The Wevolution is grounded in inspiration. It's grounded in love, and it's also grounded in participation. It involves every single one of us. So, before I got involved in this whole filming people as they were leaving their banks, I did these things called pop-up happy hours, kind of redefining what an hour of happiness is. And I'd go to public spaces and I'd have a menu, kind of like a pop-up happy party. And in the midst of the menu, you'd order different varieties of hugs, free activities, and free non-alcoholic drinks. And, you know, a hug is actually a wonderful way. Like, there's these things we can do in life that are gateways to have people feel, you know, more inspired and want to be involved. And we need these icebreakers. So I was wondering if you guys would like to participate in an icebreaker activity.
Yes.
Sure.
Awesome. So let's get out of our seats.
Okay.
There's a, on my happy hour menu, there's a hug called the Big Connector. And the Big Connector is a 20-second heart-to-heart hug. So now it's your opportunity to find a partner.
20 seconds.
And we're all 20 seconds.
Time.
I'll explain why it's 20 seconds as we're hugging.
Oh, we don't start yet.
All right. We're going to pick a partner.
Okay.
All right.
I need to hug somebody.
So basically, as you're hugging someone heart-to-heart, keep it going. I'll tell you when to stop. It actually releases a hormone called oxytocin, which is the trust hormone. Basically, when a family has a kid, it's pumped. Oxytocin is pumped into that family unit to create trust, bonding, and intimacy. So look at this. This is a room of trust, bonding, and intimacy. This is the Wevolution. That's how we start our presentation. Thank you for actively. We've pumped all this. We've pumped all this love into the room now, and
wow,
that's kind of like more what I really want to talk about. More than just bank exits, I really want to just talk about how do we engage people. And my whole thing is, number one, we need to inspire people, and once we inspire people, people are on board. They want to do something. But I think a lot of times what happens in the world is we're telling people, like, this is the way. And people don't want to be told. They just want to feel good. And once people feel good, they're on board. So that was that. Thanks for participating. I hope you feel good now. When I hug someone for 20 seconds. How do you guys feel? Actually, let me ask you. How do you feel?
Great.
Awesome.
Better
happy.
Than before.
Happy. The job is done. All right, so how did I get involved in this whole bank exit stuff? What happened was it was last November, and Trump got elected. And I actually was happy he got elected. I didn't vote for him, but I really felt that he was going to burn down the system the quickest. So I was like, do it. Let's burn this puppy down, because if we burn it down, then we can rebuild it. That's my thought. But all around me, what I saw were there were people were freaking out. I mean, people over my Facebook were just like basically saying, today is the worst day of my life. I don't drink. I'm 2 glasses of wine in. Someone was like, where's the Kool-Aid party? That's happening, right? people were like, if you didn't vote for Hillary Clinton, I will never talk to you again. And I was just like, wow.
That's real sad. That's a lot of that happened.
That was the state, you know, and I'm like, all right. What can I personally do? Because what I felt, people felt powerless. And when people feel powerless, they deflect. But when people feel empowered, they just act. So I'm like, what can I personally do to act in my own power to potentially inspire people to change. And I couldn't really believe that I still had a bank account, but I had a bank account at Chase. And I was like, one of the worst. I was like, you know what, I'll film my process of exiting the bank. And I went into the bank. I had a camera. I got kicked out of the bank. I'm like, all right, how can I still document this? I went to a spy shop. I got some spy glasses. And I found this banker who just was like the banker from the gods who wanted me to do this work. And basically it was an infomercial for credit unions. So I'll play that video. And
send me the link to it so I can put it in my live stream.
I'll send you all these.
That was awesome. That's where I first started this guy.
I met Cindy like, a day after.
The very next day.
In front of Energy Train. I filmed my bank exit. The next day there was happened to be a big No Dakota Access Pipeline rally in front of Energy Transfer Partners.
I saw him. I'm like, hey, I just friended you last night on Facebook, and I saw your...
And it was really ironic that I was in Houston when this all happened. I was on a road trip, and I was in New York, and I was trying to make my way back to L.A., and it happened to be in Houston. There's this whole, you know, election drama, and I was like, I better do this now. And it was just ironic that it was Houston, which is like one of the oil capitals of the United States. Anyway, you know, I like to believe in synchronicities, and obviously I was supposed to do this. It kind of all fell in my lap. So here's my bank.
This is where it started.
This is where it all started.
I like it. It's good.
No, I'm just going.
Now we don't have sound. Oh! It came off. Let's see. It's so good.
There's an army, a.k.a. local law enforcement, making sure the Dakota Access Pipeline is being built through Native-owned land. The big banks are funding this. This motivated me to film the process of me exiting the banks.
So earlier I made an attempt to film taking my money out of bank.
I opened up a credit union, and I'm transferring my money from a checking account to close my checking account into the credit union.
What was that?
You still recording?
Am I allowed to do that?
No, not in the federal building.
They saw us with the cameras and they told us we couldn't film. So basically I got these glasses right here, little spy glasses. So we're going to try to film that now.
I have a checking account. And I just opened up a credit union. I need to transfer the checking account to the credit union. Have you noticed people leaving banks to go to credit unions more often these days? What do you think the appeal is?
Credit unions are local. They're not they're focused on the community where they're located. The main goal isn't making profit. They're basically serving
customers. Credit unions are for the people, and I'm supportive of putting money that's going to support local business rather than... You know, basically, I don't know if you're familiar with this pipeline that's being built in North Dakota. Have you heard about
that?
The Energy Transfer Partners is doing this pipeline. So basically, there's 17 banks that have basically given a $3.75 billion line of credit. So I don't want to support that. Because really, it's their only source of water, this native tribe. And if the pipeline breaks, it's going to ruin their water. And it's their own land, and it's like the treaty gave them that land.
That first community credit union that I mentioned
If you're inspired by watching this video, I'd love to get you to take your money out of the banks and into a credit union. I'd love to film your experience. I've got these wonderful little spy glasses, and we can go to any bank. We'll film the whole experience. Let's get a lot of people doing this. Let's make it viral. If you're interested, I'll come to your area no matter where you live. Thank you.
Anyway, so yeah, so after that happened, I didn't really know, how do I turn this off? No, still on, okay. I didn't really know what was going to happen. As you can see, that banker, that's not your normal banking experience.
That's not the one I was thinking of.
Banking experience.
Right, right. So obviously I was fell in my lap for some reason. And it was like this perfect storm. Around the same time, a filmmaker named Matthew Cook, he filmed his bank exit experience. I had no idea he did that, but that video went viral. It was like that energy was there. Defund Dapple pretty much started a week after I released this video, which is actually a friend of mine who started Defund Dapple, which is a whole petition, I don't know if you guys heard about it, that was trying to get people to leave the banks. And then about 4 days after I released this video, 4 or 5 days, November 20th happened at Standing Rock. And I don't know if you guys have followed Standing Rock at all, but that was the night that the water cannons were being used against the protesters. That's the day that Sophia, like, got her arm blown off. That was the day that a girl named Susie lost one of her eyes. It was like the peak of this, like,
aggression.
Right. So you had all this, like, perfect storm of just people, like, I need to do something. And the whole Trump presidency. It was, like, all this. So, like, that video, I think, nearly has 1 million views right now. And I got contacted from people all around the country. And since November, I've filmed 31 people leaving their banks. And it's been a really amazing experience. The thing that I like about, I'm not a big fan of protesting, but I'm a fan of protesting with action, like tangible steps where you can see an impact very quickly. And I get to these people, these strangers. I appear, pretty much everyone I've met has been a complete stranger, and there's trust. They're like, they don't know who I am. They know the guy with spyglasses, and we're doing an illegal act. Like, it's illegal to film in a bank. I mean, I'm meeting a stranger, or we're doing an illegal activity, so there's immediate trust, and I see the shift. People feel empowered. They're making a difference. And in this world where there's these big issues, and I'm not saying don't fight for these big issues, getting money out of politics, ending the Federal Reserve, like, these things take long amounts of time, but it's easy to lose momentum in that. So I'm focused on, like, what can we do to create more tangible things like leaving the banks that can get people motivated and keep that momentum going. And it's really, it led me to a lot of really inspirational people, leaders in, like, people's own communities that I've filmed their bank exits. There's a guy named George Funmaker in L.A., he's a native, who found my video, and we filmed him. And the really amazing thing about that is George, the next day after I filmed George's bank exit was a Dakota Access Pipeline, Dakota Access Pipeline rally in L.A. He's like, I'll see you there. And little did I know, in the front of the whole march of like 10,000 people was George banging the drum. George is the first person to address the audience. He's like one of the biggest native voices in the whole Los Angeles community, and he just found this video. And then he had someone else, I was in New York at this time, named Cheyenne Phoenix, another native, and he filmed her bank exit. So it was like this empowerment of empowerment. Really amazing stuff. And I think over 31 people, just from, like, you know, the stuff we've done, and I don't think, you know, I'm not going to put a marker of what's successful or not. Affecting people is affecting people and not successful. But I would say well over $1 million have probably been taken out from these 31 people and the people that have found these videos. I did a little compilation of that, at least the first 15, and I'll show you another video.
We gotta celebrate. Leaving the bank is a fun thing.
17 banks have funded the Dakota Access Pipeline. This inspired me to exit my bank. I'm now filming others with my spy glasses. They're inspired to do the same.
Today I'm filming my account at Bank of America because they're funding the Dakota Access Pipeline.
How does it feel to work for a company that's, like, invested in stuff like this? How many people in this branch have left because of this reason?
In the last 3 days, I would say about 7.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Because we're going to do this one by one, take them down.
So you're making new friends here. We just met today. You know, this is the new revolution.
So I just closed my account with Wells Fargo, and I'm headed to a credit union across town because they care about the community.
Credit unions are local. They're focused on the community where they're
located. I would like to close my account.
You're
big here is supporting the
Dakota Access Pipeline. I do admire that you guys do stand up for what you believe.
Larry, it's been good to dance. Thank you so much for coming to your big time chase. Thank you, Rand. It was a party. Celebrate. Thank you, Larissa, for closing your bank account at Bank America.
I just divested my money from Chase Bank. I do actually work in the oil industry. Just want to let you know that there are those of us out there who do care enough about our environment, about what we're passing on to our children.
I'm closing my bank account with this Chase. It's one of 17 banks running in the Dakota
Access Pipeline. Party time. They will know that. Took 100K out. It's you, the man. The movement has seen quite a few heroes pop up so far, but now the movement needs you to become a hero. I call on you to divest from your bank and move to a credit union. The city of Seattle is looking to divest $3 billion, and now I'm looking to film other cities that want to divest as well, along with businesses and individuals with large amounts of money. Let's do this. Thank you.
This is before inauguration. So yeah, in the last 6 or 7, 8 months, there's been a lot of really positive momentum because of Defund Apple. They had like a ticker of how much money has been.
What's the Defund Apple?
Dapple.
Oh, Dapple.
Yeah, I
understand it. Yeah, I took my money out a long, long time ago, but.
Nice.
I don't have much.
It's not really a matter of how much money you have, it's more of just a statement,
it was about action.
So, like, in the last 7 months, about personally, there's been about $84 million that's been taken out of these big banks. And then city divestment, it's been over $4 billion. Like I said in there, Seattle did divest $3 billion. Got Davis, Santa Monica, L.A. So, yeah, there's been a lot of really positive stuff. Also, Ireland in the last 7 months became the first country to divest completely from fossil fuels. New York's pension fund became completely away from private prisons.
California? Didn't California take state money out of the banks, too, I thought?
You know, if they did, I'm not 100% sure.
Aren't you from California?
I should know. isn't life pretty ironic?
Check and make sure I'm not wrong.
I don't feel bad. Yeah. I don't believe it.
We'll look into that. But anyway, it just shows you that this is really powerful. And, the bank exit movement has worked a lot in different periods, especially when there's like a movement behind it. This was because of Standing Rock. And it's really interesting because we've got someone from South Africa. And one of the major reasons that I heard, or not one of the major, but one of the reasons that the apartheid ended was people left their banks. Terry, do you want to talk a little bit about that since you were living there?
Well, I met it. Thanks. That's what I'm talking about tomorrow.
I'll chat about that.
I can spend 2 hours.
I guess sum it up in a few minutes. Like,
yeah, I used to be a banker, but I also had a 15-year-old son who was subject to the draft into the South African Army, so I said, right, Kelly's going into the Army. So I then got appointed to the Western Province Council of Churches, where we began to discuss banking sanctions. And 1985, P.W. Botha, the president, told the world to go to hell. We were going to fix it his way. And then we had a financial crash. I was in charge of international banking in our region. And I had a transaction going through for $60 million. Our correspondent bank in New York grabbed our $60 million to set off against $200 million they had lent to South Africa. So the Western Province Council of States Churches said, wow, if we can caused such chaos in New York. Apparently the whole New York payment system imploded. So the South African Council of Churches said, well, if we can do this from Cape Town, off you go to New York and Washington to launch the banking sanctions campaign. This was October 85. We launched at the UN with Archbishop Tutu, or Bishop Tutu as he was at that time. It was taken up by the Comprehensive Anti-Apartheid Act. And bit by bit, people saw banking sanctions was the pressure point against the apartheid system. We had nuclear bombs, but they're totally useless. And so bit by bit it was picked up. The banking sanctions was the pressure point. And the churches, thanks to the movement among students, trade unions, whatever, because of parallels of the civil rights campaign with the anti-apartheid movement, banking sanctions became the pressure point, and the churches, the major churches, told the seven major New York banks, make a choice. Do you want the pension fund business of the Episcopal Church or the Methodist Church or the Catholic Church or the payment business of apartheid South Africa? You make a choice. David Dinkins, when he became mayor of New York, added in the payroll account of the city of New York or apartheid South Africa. Make a choice. And we were very fortunate in our timing. It was the end of the Cold War, so we were no longer communists. And to our astonishment, Bush Sr., when he came to office in 89, was trying to distance himself from Reagan. And 89 was a crazy year in South Africa. And we had the March for Peace in September 1989. 35,000 people marched illegally from the Cape Town St. George's Cathedral to the City Hall. Well, it was illegal until the church leaders suggested it might be a good idea if the American and German and British ambassadors joined the march, or at least monitored it, and President de Klerk was in a quandary. He could hardly tear gas the U.S. ambassador in the city of Cape Town, so it became a legal procession. Now, if you'd like to make the distinction between an illegal march and a legal procession, take your pick. Anyway, as Archbishop Tutu says, we marched in Cape Town and the Berlin Wall fell down 2 months later. But the Bush administration was taking note, and amazingly, they then, in October 89, issued an ultimatum demanding the South African government, by February 1990, comply with the first three of our five conditions. And we put this at every opportunity: end the state of emergency, release political prisoners, and unban political organizations. Four was repeal of apartheid legislation, and five was constitutional negotiations for a non-racial democracy. So they issued this ultimatum October 89, comply with the first three conditions, and lo and behold, February 1990, President de Klerk makes his speech releasing Mandela and the beginning of negotiations. They thought that Mandela would be a six-month wonder, and it took 4 years of very difficult negotiations, but that was the background to South Africa's transition. The expectation was we were on path for a racial bloodbath, a civil war. Who knows how many million people might have been killed, devastation of the economy and whatever. But it was banking sanctions because of the role of the U.S. dollar as the settlement currency. If you didn't have access to the seven major New York banks, you weren't in the world. We wouldn't be able to trade with Japan or Europe or whatever because of the role of the dollar. Now, 30 years later, the technology has advanced dramatically. Everything is now computer-driven. And what I'm proposing is swift sanctions. I'm particularly looking at Israeli banks because of the role of the Israeli war industry. And what I'll be talking about tomorrow is swift sanctions against Israeli banks. Everything is now computer-driven, and if you can reprogram a computer to exclude transactions to and from IL banks, Israel won't be able to pay for imports or receive payment for exports, and the laundering of the proceeds of the war business and the plunder of countries, for instance, like the DRC. So, instead of 2 hours, that's awesome. In 10 minutes.
Well, thanks, Terry. Look at that. You can't plan stuff like that.
If I may, my grandson is called Che after his revolutionary grandfather.
Well, there you go.
The banker who became a revolutionary.
Then he got the Bernie Che hat. There you go. Oh. You know, there's synchronicities everywhere. I think that shows you that you're kind of on the right path. We got Allison in the back there. We were actually on the same plane. The same row. We didn't know each other, and I was doing a live stream. She's like, I'm going to the Democracy Convention, too. So there you go. And like, I've got this watch, too, and I just have a thing with watches. It never works. I just stopped even like trying to get it on time. It's been like 4 hours off, 5 hours off. In the last 6 months, it's only been on time twice. It was on time once in the Native Nations Rise March in D.C. a few months ago. And it's on time right now. So there you go. I can't explain
why. So why do you wear it?
You know, I call it God's watch. Whenever it's on time, I know I'm in the right place. So I'm in the right place right now. I guess I like the way they look too. Yeah, there you go.
I have a personal question.
Yes.
I have a credit card with Chase.
Yeah.
And I know I want to get rid of it, but it's going to ruin my credit score if I cancel that card.
Get another.
Well, what about instead of canceling, you just stop using it? Because if instead of like, you know, your transactions at least are not, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
If you have it and you're not using it, it doesn't.
It doesn't give them any dollars. Right.
Well, or you can get credit union.
I have a credit union.
Get a couple of those or something, and then
quit just using not it. Use the
it's,
other one.
Thing about Chase, it's really hard to get rid of their damn card. I didn't use it for a long time, and I kept trying to cancel it, and they wouldn't.
I canceled one in the last couple of weeks. I just emailed them through the system and said I want to cancel it immediately. They emailed me back and said it's canceled.
But doesn't that ruin your credit score then?
I was doing this years ago by phone and all. We didn't have.
Anyway. It's easy now.
But
cool.
Get rid of it. Don't use it.
So the question now is, like, you know, it's really exciting too. Is the problem that's happened is a lot of these credit unions, they're unable to handle like these cities. This is, all these cities have been divesting all this money, but yet, you know, you got $400 million in transactions a day. A credit union can't handle that. So what's happening now is these cities have been starting initiatives to start these public banks.
That's even better.
And which is kind of interesting because like it's all around a charter, and the people can. Be a part of what they want the charter to look like, what the banks are giving loans to. So I had some friends in San Francisco and LA and all around the country that are starting that, so that's inspiring because that's a large amount of money. If these cities are leaving, it's really important, what are you going to do with this money? Because right now, if the cities, you know, leave these big banks, they can only go to another big bank. So hopefully these public banks will be reinitiated sooner than later.
Who's running those public banks? I mean, you got to have somebody who's knowledgeable.
You know, I'm not an expert on public banks. I'm not 100% sure who's spearheading these things, but they're involving people that have a lot of experience in economics and finance, and they're new. And ironically enough, the only public bank, I mean, you guys have probably heard this last night, that exists is in the state of North Dakota.
That's crazy. That's amazing.
And it's shown as a model to serve. It actually makes money for the state. So it works, but life is a joke, in my opinion. Let's make change and let's have fun in this joke of a life. So like my question is, all right, I showed you these tangible steps of leaving a bank. You guys obviously probably haven't learned too much, but it's ways of active empowerment of people. How do we take this further? How can we create more tangible steps? And I said before, inspiration is the number one thing we need to do to get in touch with people. And before I started doing this bank exit work, I started doing these pop-up happy parties, mostly in the New York subway. And since I started doing this bank exit work, I've included, like, especially people that I felt like a stronger bond with. Because a lot of people do free hugs, and that's great. But once you hug someone, they're going to just wander right off. I've got this little happy hour menu, and so if someone gives me a hug, I'm like, hey, would you like to order something off my happy hour menu? Like where are we going? I'm like, no, it's here. I don't need to go anywhere. So it's like it grabs them back in again. They're able to look at these things like, what's that? What's this hug or whatever? And then after that, if they order another hug or they order, I have a thing where it's like truth or dare thumb wrestling and there's all these ridiculous activities. And then I'm like, hey. Hey guys,
follow his Facebook page.
Okay. Yeah, it's Inspire Bank Exits on Facebook. I try to live stream them, but since I've done this bank exit work, I've included having these deeper conversations. So after I have like some meaningful time with someone, I'll then be like, hey, who do you bank with? And instead of like abrasively trying to get to people, and you know. Because of me doing that, and just even doing it only a few times since I've been doing this work, I've had about 8 or 9 people be like, they didn't even know what was going on. So, number one, it's informing people, and they've told me, I want to close my account. Have they followed through with me to actually film it? No, but maybe they've closed it since. I'm not 100% sure, but it's interesting to potentially go out to your... It's about community outreach. How can we outreach to the community? And these happy hours, I think, are a beautiful thing. I mean, obviously, not everyone wants to go out in public and give someone a stranger free hugs. It's not for everybody, but I feel like it could potentially be a great way for people to engage people in a non-abrasive way. It doesn't even have to be about bank exits. It could be about any tangible thing that you're passionate about that you could potentially go out into the public and get people feeling engaged and connected and then approach them. I mean, look at the one thing that really does not work for me are these people that canvas. It just doesn't really... I don't understand how they even get anyone to donate. Just to, like, they go up to you and they want to sign or give money, and it's a very passive thing. Like, I'd rather get people involved in something. But what if, you know, someone was on the street, they had a free hug sign, they do a whole thing, and then 10 minutes later they're like, "Hey, I've got this initiative." I think it could transform the whole canvas industry, canvassing. Anyway,
I have one question. Is that Facebook Bank Exits?
It's Inspire Bank Exits on Facebook.
Tim, I'd like to add something about the public bank in North Dakota, founded in 1919. Mark Armstrong was in two panels this morning talking about public banking. He works with Alan Brown, who's written an excellent book, The Public Banking Solution.
Awesome.
How to go about it, what it takes to get it going. I guess there's not an initiative in Minneapolis now, but there are several in California. L.A., San Francisco, and San Diego are studying public banking proposals.
Yeah, I mean, it's happening, which is good.
Yeah.
You know, I think it takes a little bit of time, but hopefully, you know, we can get this going sooner than later. Were you at the talk about public banks today?
Yeah.
You know what? And the public banks, they aren't going to lend money to Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Because they won't get their money back, for one thing.
You know, interesting thing, too, is, like, you know, you've got all these, all right, well, then I'm, like, thinking, all right, everyone's disliking Donald Trump, and you've got all this inactive, but you've got all these people with, like, this energy, and they don't know what to do with this energy. Like, how can people do that? And I was talking to some friends, and it's kind of like he's, you know, part of all these companies, and potentially it's reaching out to people and be like, if you dislike Trump and you have stocks in so-and-so company, it's, like, listing clear everything that Trump is involved with. A different type of divestment. It's not necessarily divestment from banks, but potentially getting people to just do something, you know, and then they won't be so aggro, and that's fine. You got to get it out, but let's utilize that. That's something to be, like, proud of, that anger. It's like transforming that anger into action.
Yeah, positive action.
And not sitting with it and then deflecting it all over the place, like verbal vomiting all...
Well,
you mean to stop buying products that are made by his company?
Or if you have stocks, or I don't know, like, you know, like,
okay,
you know, if it's a hotel, don't stay in a hotel, or, you know, and then it's like some form of documentation, because if we do stuff now, the power of social media is, like, the only reason why I've even had any reach is because of that. And before I hated social media, I still don't like it, but it's like using it, not abusing it. My whole thing is you've got 3.5 billion people on this planet. It's soon going to overturn even more than that. And they're all under 30. And that right there is where the world's headed. So it's like getting that, and they're all on social media. It's like, how do you get that demographic involved in all this?
It's their future. It's their world.
Right. And I'm going to show you a video really quickly of these happy hours. It was before I incorporated the bank exit stuff, but there's an organization called Now This that did the thing on these happy hours. And I'll show you that really quickly.
Another Facebook thing, Now This?
Yeah, Now This is a news outlet. They do that. It's like for news for, like, I think they call it, like, for millennials.
But it's mostly upbeat things.
It's a mix. I mean, that's why it's also like trying to find content online that actually is upbeat, because so much of it is so fear mongering.
Yes.
And
well, we need critical thinking to come back in style.
Right. We'll make critical thinking cool.
It is cool. People just don't know it.
Exactly.
Some of us do.
But we're old.
No, some young people.
All right.
Happy hour to become a hour of happiness, a place where people can get different varieties of hugs, free non-alcoholic drinks, and participate in tons of fun, different, funky, cool activities.
I've been doing a lot of work with the homeless, and I had a friend recommend that I reach out to this one guy named Kevin Adler. And Kevin used the power of social media to start this organization where he used social media to have homeless people give these messages to reconnect with their lost family members. So now this did a story on this organization called Miracle Messages. They're on Facebook if you guys want to check it out. And that video, just like, I mean, he got like 1,000 volunteers from that video. The video had like 30 million hits and whatever. So I did a follow-up, and I was in New York, and that's when I actually got to meet Kevin. And now this was doing a second follow-up, and then we shared a taxi, and then I just like gave her my whole, like, here's pitch everything I'm doing. And she picked that up. So it's about like creating opportunities too, you know. It's like you can submit and stuff, but it's like, not, I think it's number one is to have tenacity to just like go up when you're not invited, or just like, you gotta be vulnerable, and vulnerability will lead to opportunity. It doesn't feel good sometimes, but vulnerability is important. And I don't know if you guys, I don't know where you all live. Where do you guys all, let's go around, where do you guys all live?
I live out in the country between Snook and Somerville.
In Minnesota, Texas.
Which is about 100 miles either way, between Austin and Houston.
Cool.
And then the closest town is Bush Library, Bushland, Farm College Station.
What about you?
I'm from San Diego.
San Diego, South Africa.
Cape Town, South Africa.
Houston, Texas.
All right.
Sheboygan, Wisconsin.
Ripon, Wisconsin.
Whoa, right.
Madison, Wisconsin.
Whoa!
It's a Wisconsin row, and we've got Friendship, Wisconsin.
Friendship?
Where is she from?
Friendship.
Oh, okay. Wisconsin also?
Yeah. Wow. It's a Wisconsin row. What about you?
Go to Minnesota.
What about?
Crystal, Minnesota? New York City, and you have to come to the 1, 2, and 3 line. So
that's my hub. Right? The 1, 2, and 3. It's usually Union Square. Oh, yeah.
I'm in Orange County, California.
And New Hampshire.
New Hampshire.
Wow. So, yeah, I mean, you guys are all generally, I guess, you got a little mixed, but if you're ever tempted to want to maybe do one of these things, I could come out and help support you if you want to do it, and we could do one of these happy hours, and whether it's talking about bank exits or some issue you're passionate about. I mean, I was thinking right now, I'm pretty much done talking, and they gave me, I was going to share a slot with someone, but I don't know what happened. It's a little, they just gave me this full hour and 15 minutes. I was thinking, like, you guys could maybe just, like, get in groups of, I don't know, 2 to 3 people, and if you have any ideas of, like, just tangible ways for us to get involved in anything and to see if you had some brainstorming, because I'm trying to figure out more easy steps that people can take to get them involved. And it's a way that you can incorporate with doing a pop-up happy hour or even just anything to give people. The more tangible steps we have, the more empowered we're going to feel. Yeah?
I'd just like to make an announcement, because I want to invite you to do a happy hour. The convention is having a talent show tonight at 7:30 in Willits in the main room where we were last night, 125. If you would come and do a happy hour, that'd be great.
Sure.
What about the movie? Isn't there a movie?
The movie's happening, but they couldn't give us a separate time.
Oh, too bad. Could we have a happy hour at 6 or something like that?
No, that's still supper.
You can go to the dining hall and give hugs. Or
and they only gave us the whole starting at 7:30. They only gave us all the Willits 125.
Yeah, I'll try to... I got some stuff. I'd have to go get some things. But, thanks for that. So do you guys want to, just get a little small, interactive 2 to 3 people and just, I don't know, brainstorm a little bit?
Could we see your menu again? Or maybe you could just tell us what's on your menu?
Sure. I can stop that video. It's on the video.
That'd be good.
Yeah. It changes. I mean, the thing is, if you guys are interested, I can send you, a PDF of, the menu. And it's a free hug sign, and anyway.
Is it on your Facebook?
The menu's not. Okay. I should have brought it with me. It's in my hotel.
That's okay. Still a really good presentation you're doing. Yeah.
Well, thank you.
And everybody's enjoying it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm definitely enjoying it.
And these were taken all over the... country, these videos?
Yeah, actually, one of those is in London. I've done it mainly in New York, New Orleans. There's places where it works where there's a lot of interact. I mean, it can work anywhere, but where there's a lot of traffic.
Is that koala bear hug the one where you put your arms and legs?
Yeah, I could be the koala. It's you could go either way. This is a really basic one. I've added a lot of things towards this, but... it's a jumping hug is where you go pick up and you're jumping around as you're hugging a group hug. Obviously, there's a side hug, which I like to call a gateway hug. It's for people that maybe are not comfortable to hug. Kind of by the sides. And I've added some other things that are not on here. I have an updated menu, which I can send you guys if you're interested.
Yes, I am.
Then we can...
You need a baby hug. Somebody can jump in your arms so you can hold them
Oh. I like that. See, there you go. There's a giraffe hug that a friend inspired.
What's a giraffe hug?
So, a giraffe's always you're taller than someone else. And she's like, you're always taller than someone, so you're always hugging them. Well, you should have someone be a giraffe, and then you could be you're getting hugged. You're right. Or I've just been the giraffe, too, and I get on a taller, thing, and I'm hugging. Anyway, it's just the taller or whatever. So there's that, baby hug. Do you guys want to break out into just briefly, 2 to 3 people, and just see if you have any ideas, tangible ways that we can, in any way, affect people and give them
something concrete they can do?
Exactly.
Well, I was curious about your canvassing. I would love to get out of, I canvass, and it's always so... it's impossible to break through.
Yeah.
Have you done this on canvassing too? No.
I haven't, but I feel like if the whole canvas
we gotta change that.
Community needs to change, and I feel like if you did something like this, it would probably increase your odds.
Yeah.
To it's funny because I've done these happy hours in the subway, and I've had these people proselytize. I'm a spiritual guy. I go to church. I'm just not religious, but that are trying to preach Jesus Christ, and they go up to me and they're like, oh my God, it's more effective. I mean, what if they're talking about giving hugs rather than you got to go to Jesus? It's there needs to be something first. And so we're just shoving this stuff down people's throats. Mm-hmm. And all we need in life are icebreakers. I bought this 1970 Bluebird bus. It's a full RV inside, and it's a really awesome little vehicle. And I built a stage on top. And now I'm figuring out what to do with that next. I was going to do a divestment tour, trying to get more people to divest around the country. But right now, I don't feel like the momentum is the highest. And it goes Standing Rock was that peak, and it's kind of at a lull. But I'm trying to figure out ways to incorporate that because people want to be part of something. I got this stage that I could utilize. People could hang out. There's a South Pacific root called kava, and I don't know if you guys are familiar with it, but in Hawaii and Fiji, it grows in the South Pacific Islands, and they use it for connection. And there's these pop-up, these kava bars that have popped up all different places. New York, there's a bunch of them. There's Portland. I was even in Reno, there's a kava bar.
How do you spell it?
K-A-V-A. And in each one of these combo bars I've gone to, it's a really great alternative to going to a bar. I don't drink, or if I do drink, it's very rare. And you have these places where people are actually having these deep conversations about life, and it's about gathering. Like, we're here together, like, gathering. Where can we find out more ways for people to gather, to have these deeper conversations? And in each kava bar I've gone to, these people are extremely friendly, and people are engaging in conversations that you wouldn't have in most places. So I was like, well, I could potentially do a pop-up kava bar on the roof of my bus, and I'd travel around the country and incorporate music. I don't know. There's all these ideas, and I'm like, all right, I've got all these things. I've also done some work with homeless youth, and another Houston seems to be my, like, my, I don't know, there's some weird energy about me in Houston. It's like my,
it's your magnet.
It's my magnet. All places, Houston, Texas, and I have this car, and there's a giant happy face. I can pass this around. This is my car. I made a little book. It's
a
happy
devil. A bunch of art cars.
Yeah.
Art.
It's an international issue, but it's very culturally diverse. It's very artsy.
Yeah.
So
my car has a giant happy face on the hood of my Prius, and it says, "Don't worry, be happy." And I got involved in this art car parade, and didn't realize how big it was. But it was like 400,000 people. I'm like, I got to raise awareness for something. I scoured all these organizations in Houston, and I got this organization called the Covenant House involved in my parade. And I got these kids. The Covenant House is all about homeless youth or former homeless youth involved in this parade. And we got them dressed up in like banana costumes and hamburger suits and pee outfits. And we became like this like crew as my car went around the parade. And the transformation that I saw in these kids from the start to the finish, like, one kid was like, "You forced me to dance in front of 400,000 people." I got over major stage fright. Like, he's like, "I felt empowered. I felt famous for the day." Just involving them, and a lot of them, what I found, these really positive voices, what are they doing now? They're about to go to the Army. They're excited. I mean, that's great. But it's giving other opportunities to get, like, demographics, like kids like that that have been through hell and back. And now they actually want to do something, but the world doesn't present opportunities. So it's like another one of my things is trying to get homeless youth, former homeless youth, involved in this activism type of work. So I've got all these ideas. I've got a vehicle. Anyway, if you guys want to break up into little groups, and if you have any ideas. Because I know you guys have all something valuable to give. What was that?
I wonder how you make a living. I mean, how do you fund yourself?
Well, like, I have a family business. It's self-storages and trailer parks. So
perfect.
They're
you're not exploitive, I hope. And Brian,
right?
And the people that own the trailer parks are horrible.
Yeah, no, it's a family-run business, and they treat the people.
They're fair. Cruel but fair.
Capitalism. Anyway. But yeah, if you guys want to just jump into 2 to 3 people and see if it take like 5 minutes and brainstorm. Or you can just have one big group. I don't know.
Yeah, let's just do